Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, we're back here for the 8 o'clock hour. Got a lot of stuff to get to. But before we do, and I was watching Monday Night Football games last night, so I didn't see it. But Dancing with the Stars started with one of people that everybody in the country's talking about, Carol Baskin, who, by the way, has got an investigation going on to see if she killed her ex-husband. And she's on the show. Like, she's got the biggest brass basketballs I've ever seen to be doing this show, knowing that nobody's thinking about all the Tigers or Lions that you have now in two different states. People are looking at you trying to figure out if you killed your ex-husband. That's it.
That's terrible.
Nobody's going, you know, and probably a little bit the fact that Exotic Joe or Joe Exotic was, you know, the crazy documentary that was super popular there for a while and probably be movies coming out on and everything else. But they think she's as wacky, and there's something. Like, you ask people, normal people, not conspiracy people who live in, that some of you that listen to us, but people that are going, yeah, she's involved in having him whacked. She definitely killed the ex-husband who had money and all this stuff. How does this crazy bitch do this show?
Well, it was a little bit of a creep show last night, man. She was dancing around the Eye of the Tiger. I had the misfortune of watching some of that video. It's a real creep show, man. But probably the best part, though, of the whole thing was they actually, during Dancing with the Stars, aired this commercial last night.
I'm Gail, one of Don Lewis's daughters. We are a real family, and to us, he was daddy.
I'm Linda, one of Don Lewis's daughters, and we miss our dad.
I'm Donna. I'm Don Lewis's oldest daughter. We need to know what happened to our father.
I'm Ann, Don's former assistant. All we're asking is justice for Don.
Don Lewis mysteriously disappeared in 1997. His family deserves answers. They deserve justice. Do you know who did this or if Carol Baskin was involved?
A $100,000 reward has been funded. You can call the tip line at 646-450-6530.
Oh, my goodness.
They didn't run that during the show.
That's a real commercial that aired last night.
No way.
It aired.
That is unbelievable.
They aired that during the same time the Dancing with the Stars was on?
Yes.
Oh.
And she's out there dancing as happy as can be. Meanwhile, every one of his kids thinks she's involved in his disappearance.
It's not just his kids. Do you think she was involved?
The whole country.
Right. I can't believe. I mean, listen, I just think it's funny that they did a media buy during that time. That's a perfect time. Throw that commercial in there a couple times during that show. Holy moly.
Now, obviously, I'll be calling that tip line later today and seeing what happens on the other end.
Hey, man, that is very.
Wow.
This whole thing.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, it's. It's creepy. It's awkward. Like, does she? I mean, she's got to know. And that just tells you, like, she doesn't give a right? She doesn't care. She knows what you're thinking. and she doesn't care. I'm getting on with my life. I'm going to make some money. I'm going to become famous. Like, meanwhile, everybody walks by her. They got that same thought, man. Right?
I'm calling OJ the tip line right now, by the
OJ
way.
OJ walks by everybody. It doesn't matter. Everybody's
Don't
thinking the same thing.
Don't you dare compare her to OJ. Come on, man.
Same thing.
Might be close.
She's got a chance to be innocent. OJ, I don't think, has much of a chance.
Well.
Allegedly.
OJ is found innocent. That's the difference.
Weird, man.
Right.
And by the way, this is how sick we are. They're going to get record amount of people watching that dumbass show.
Oh, of course. Just to see if she says anything or if someone says something to her.
How about the guy that's working with her, that's dancing with her, getting her ready? Hey, does this work for you? If not, let me know. No. I got to get home tonight. I can't have dinner with you.
Right.
No, I'm going to skip. You and your husband, your new husband, just stay together. You guys go and enjoy it.
If we don't win this competition, you don't want to know what's next.
Well, listen, she ain't running and hiding. You can have a damn investigation going on.
Oh, she doesn't care.
People are hiring private investigators.
It's a $100,000 reward out there in a national commercial.
That number's real, by the way. I just called it.
All right.
Oh, I believe it. I don't think they'll put a fake number.
We spent way too much time on Carole Baskin and Dancing with the Stars. I will not watch it.
Yeah, but that's a well-placed commercial, you got to admit.
Well-placed.
I thought you were joking. I was waiting for you to say real. I got you. So why she's out there getting ready to, right before she dances, they run this.
Right.
And all her, I guess, stepkids or whatever. I don't know what they're called after. He's obviously dead somewhere. He didn't just disappear to go live on an island and be crazy somewhere.
Allegedly, again.
Right. Got to watch our back.
What, that he's dead?
There's just no evidence is the problem. Right. Like OJ's case, there was evidence everywhere.
All right, but
like OJ basically left a note, said I did it.
There's perception out there with certain people that they, when you see them, you'll always, when people walk by, people are gonna make a comment, you know, to whoever they're with. And Carole Baskin's comment's not gonna be that she owns 400 or 500 wild animals. It's gonna be that she had something to do with the disappearance of her wealthy husband. Ex-husband now, because she's remarried. What was he thinking, by the way?
Woof, I don't know.
That dumbass left his family for her?
What happened to your
How bad was his ex-wife? Good right. God. How bad was his ex-wife that he left to go to that?
Right.
Like, you know, I don't feel like my ex-wife was going to kill me. I feel like there's a chance you could whack me if, you know, I have a little money or something. I don't know. That's kind of...
That commercial, though. Holy moly.
That was a weird one, man.
Right?
Yeah, that was weird. Hey, we got Ben Volen going to join us. We got a lot of stuff going on. Monday night doubleheader. Last one was last night. Steelers. Big Ben, number one, is back. 3 touchdown pass. Made a beautiful throw on a blitz off his back foot. Backing up. Dropped it in there. Just a perfect pass. He had 3 touchdowns last night. And by the way, the Steeler defense is alive and well. I don't know where we're going to rank it when it's all said and done, but that's a damn good defense. And by the way, it just looks like Steelers and Ravens are going to go at it again, doesn't it? Mm. Oh, boy. And then Titans take care of the Broncos in a close one last night, win a short winning field goal to win that game 16-14. Tannehill had a couple of touchdown passes in that one. And by the way, we were talking before about the Dolphins. You realize we got 2 1s and 2 2s for next year's draft?
I love it.
I think it's like the second most loaded draft next to the one we just had of high draft picks. And the good news for that, you know, we see some obvious holes in this team. Man, you got 4 picks in the top 60. Pretty damn good, man. That puts you right up there to really, between opt-outs and guys that are going to play this year, really good opportunity to fill some more holes. And I'm with you, man. Hopefully we took care of the big body thing, and hopefully we don't have to get another defensive tackle, and that we can start working on skill position people.
Skill players, yeah. Why not?
Whether it's a double-digit, no, can't miss pass rusher to a wide receiver, anyone, a running back. That thing's got the smell of a running back in the second round, doesn't it? One of
yes.
those guys. Anyway, 100%. could be a lot of fun, but I just wanted to bring that up. I wasn't going to look, and then I was like, damn, I think we got 2-1s and 2-2s thanks to the Texans. Sure enough, we still got the Tunsil stuff coming in here, so we'll see that. What they're able to do and get down the road. But right now, they got to make some adjustments and get ready for this game. We got Boston and Miami, game one, 6:40 tonight, Eastern Conference, game one. By the way, man, I won't make it, but I'd love to see what's going to happen in a game seven out west between the Clippers and the Nuggets, who have somehow got this thing after two big collapses by the Clippers in the second half to a game seven. God, what an upset that
would be.
There's
so much pressure on the Clippers to win tonight. Much more than Denver.
You just feel like Kawhi's going to have a big game tonight, right? Like,
he
I don't
needs
know.
To.
I don't, but he's had big games and it's not doing
but
anything.
But he needs
like,
to if they have any
have
chance
help.
To win. Right.
So, all right, listen, Ben Volen's going to join us. When we come back, we're going to talk to Benny, get caught up on what the hell game plan, find out if he was expecting the Cam show and to be such a big part of this running game as they're getting ready to travel to Seattle for week two and the Dolphins trying to figure out how to keep teams under 200 yards running the football. So, yeah, I hope we're not talking about that a lot. Those are not good numbers. I'm guessing after week one, you're dead last in run defense. I think that's fair to say that you're in really bad shape. Hey, right now, I want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers for just a second here, man. You know what? It's never too early in the morning for me to talk about 2020 South Florida Chevy dealers. Wow. Best overall products by far. This is it. This is when you go, man, we got to figure it out. We got the Chevy Open Road Sale event still rolling strong, which means great deals. But, hey, I can sit here and tell you about the Suburbans and Tahoes and Silverado trucks because everybody knows about them. Everybody knows they're big, they're comfortable, they're durable. They got everything you need. But if you want, and we're really proud of these, our smaller SUVs. I want to tell everybody about the 2020 Traverse, which is just so much fun to drive. But it's a midsize SUV, which really is spacious enough to accommodate the big family, yet doesn't compromise any of the style. Boy, I'll tell you what, that. And then if you want to go to the smaller SUV, the Equinox SUV, oh my gosh, man, with the technology and active safety features, really fun to drive performance for everybody. It's a must take for a test drive if you're looking for a smaller SUV. And finally, another midsize SUV, the 2020 Chevy Blazer. You remember the Blazer. Blazer's been around for a long time, but it's never looked like the 2020. Oh my gosh. Talk about getting a style really figured out. What a beautiful look, man. And that's the thing about your South Florida Chevy dealers. I think it's the best looking family we've ever had at your South Florida Chevy dealers. We want you to come on down, take a test drive, get yourself a great deal, especially now with everything that's going on. We got whatever you're looking for when it comes to safety features, space for your family, technology. We got it all, man. Find your reason to switch at your local South Florida Chevy dealer convenient locations in Dade and Broward and Monroe County. Find new roads at your South Florida Chevy dealer today.
Hey, Cam, hope you're doing well. I just had a couple of questions there. At the end of the game, it looked like there was something going on between you and the Dolphins. A video showed that they might have grabbed one of your chains. And then the follow-up there is that there's another video of you kind of touching your hamstring on the sideline. So I was wondering what happened after the game with that as well.
It was a competitive game on both sides. You just have to realize who you're talking to and just keep everything in the game. I realized I was talking to a person that's known for doing splits, so that wasn't characteristic of myself to keep going back and forth. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's football. And for me, no matter who it is, you know, I play with a competitive edge and I expect the other team to have a competitive edge as well. And at the end of the day, anything outside of that, it's just all about respect. So, you know, I don't disrespect nobody and I wouldn't want anybody to disrespect me. But yet, at the end of the day, we got the thing that was most valuable today, and that's the win.
All right, we're going to jump to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. That was Cam Newton post-game after the Dolphins lose to the Patriots. Ben Volen, senior NFL writer at the Boston Globe, going to join us here for a couple minutes. Good morning, Ben. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys today?
Ben, we're doing great, man. We're hanging in there. We don't let that 11 points and giving up 217 yards on the ground affect us on a Tuesday, man. Don't you worry about that. Speaking of that, Ben, help me out. Were you expecting, forget the yards and stuff, we'll talk about that, that read option and Cam, such a big part of the running game, were you expecting that?
Not as much as they used it. I did not expect Cam to set a career high with 15 carries, a Patriots record with 15 carries. During training camp, the media was allowed to watch practice, but with no fans, you know, the teams were very strict about enforcing the media policy, and so we were sworn to secrecy about a lot of stuff. But one of the things we noticed was Cam was running a lot of read option and straight power runs, just, you know, quarterback power. But a lot of that was just in the red zone. So I thought that would be a weapon for them inside the red zone. I didn't think it would be a main part of their game plan. But it does make sense. You know, week one, they didn't have they barely had a training camp and a preseason. Cam Newton's brand new. You don't want him dropping back to throw 40 times a game. He probably only knows, 25 to 50% of the playbook down cold anyway at this point. So I think he just wanted to have a simplified offensive attack, build a lead, run the ball, and that's what they were able to do. And frankly, the game should have been much more a much larger margin of defeat than it was. I mean, N'Keal Harry fumbling out of the end zone, the Patriots wasting a couple interceptions, not getting any points off of it. So 21-11, I thought the score could have been a lot better, and the Patriots let the Dolphins hang around a lot longer than they should have.
Ben, Josh McDaniels built a whole offense around Tim Tebow after he drafted him in the first round a couple of years back. Is it possible that Bill Belichick, once Cam was kind of on board, told Josh, do what you have to do, get us back to where Cam's the best at what he is?
Well, I think Josh McDaniels for a while has been intrigued about having a mobile quarterback and just all the new possibilities that it opens up. Tom Brady, no one's ever going to regret the Tom Brady era by any stretch. Six Super Bowls and just incredible football year after year. But, from McDaniel's standpoint, I'm sure it did handicap him a little bit as a play caller to not have someone with running capability. And you look around the league now, I think five quarterbacks on Sunday led their teams in rushing, and all five teams won their game. So the quarterback is becoming a weapon. It's becoming part of the offense. It's kind of normalized in today's NFL. Even guys like Mahomes, who, he's clearly a passer first, but, all these quarterbacks are really good athletes now. So I just think McDaniels is excited to have a guy like Cam, who is a physical beast, who can run the ball 15 times a game, can be your short yardage goal line back as well. We saw him running with some power the other day. And I think McDaniels is just going to have a lot of fun with a new type of quarterback this year.
Well, there's a lot to it, and the national news was like Cam was a great story, but can he carry the ball 15 times a game? You're going to take some hits. I know he's a big guy. Those injuries don't go away and stay away forever.
This is definitely not a sustainable offense. You do not want Cam running 15 times a game. And really, the passing game, I don't think, is sustainable. It worked for week one. It worked against the Dolphins team that didn't have a lot of punch offensively. This week, they go out to Seattle, the Patriots, on Sunday Night Football, and Russell Wilson just threw four touchdowns. They put up 38 points. Patriots are going to have to throw the ball. And Cam Newton was very efficient, 15 of 19, but it was all short stuff, quick passes, a lot of play action, and really only Julian Edelman was the only receiver who could get open. N'Keal Harry had, I thought, a pretty disappointing day. And, Demir Byrd played 56 snaps, didn't even get a target. James White and Rex Burkhead are nice little threats out of the backfield, but they need more receivers to step up, and they're going to start playing teams like Seattle, Kansas City, Houston, teams that can put up some points. And so I don't think the Patriots offense is sustainable like this. They're going to have to develop more of a passing attack.
Hey Ben, did you feel like watching the game that the Dolphins looked confused and not prepared for that read option? Because there were so many runs to the outside that just there was nobody there, nobody home.
Well, you guys did catch me before I'd done my big film study today. Actually, as soon as I get off the phone, restart. I'm going to get on the old computer box there and start breaking down the Patriots' run game and how successful it was. But, yeah, I was surprised that the Dolphins didn't seem to come prepared on either side of the ball. They had very little punch on offense. They weren't ready for the Patriots' rush attack on defense by any stretch. And, I mean, I understand you don't have a whole lot of film with Cam Newton playing with Josh McDaniels. In fact, you have no film of it. So this was definitely a tough game to prepare for. You know, on the road, the Patriots clearly have some revenge in mind after what happened last year. So, this is a tough game, and I don't want to write off the Dolphins by any stretch. I've got them making the playoffs. Maybe I'm stupid, Joe, but I've got the Dolphins sneaking into the playoffs this year. So I do like where they're headed. But, week one, very little training camp, no preseason. This was a really tough week to get ready for. And I did think Brian Flores' staff would come out looking better than they did.
Yeah, interesting with your defense, doing those defense, because also that was a big storyline over the summer and getting ready for this season, losing so many guys opting out, whether it was free agency, whatever the deal was. What did you think of the defense, New England's defense against Miami's offense with all those storylines going into this game?
Yeah, I mean, the Patriots defense obviously played pretty well. It was really only that one touchdown in the fourth quarter that they allowed, and they picked off Fitzpatrick three times. A free agent signee, Adrian Phillips, that they got from the Chargers, he stepped into Patrick Chung's role as the strong side safety who comes up into the box. And he, I think, led the team with nine tackles and had a pick. And Belichick rotated a lot of guys in and out. He used a lot of bodies in this game. It did kind of have a preseason feel to it where you didn't want to tire guys out. You wanted to, use a heavy rotation. But again, I think for the offenses especially, week one was so tough, especially when you're implementing a new scheme like the Dolphins are. I mean, I imagine most of these teams, the football felt really bland on Sunday overall, just across the league. And it feels like these teams only have like 25% of the playbook installed right now. There just hasn't been enough time to really work on things. So I just think that's where the Dolphins are at right now. It's a lot to ask to install a new scheme with really no off-season program, no preseason games to work things out. So it might be a slow few weeks on offense for some of these teams. So I think that's probably why the Patriots' defense played well. It's the old cliche, the defense is ahead of the offense this time of the year.
I'll say one thing. That defensive line had a lot of the same names, and so is that secondary. Still got the key guys back there that made a lot of those plays. And we didn't talk a lot about was their linebackers, who were obviously such a big part. 19 sacks between the three veterans that one opted out and the two other guys, Collins, Hightower, and Van Noy. I don't know how they played because the D-line really did a great job and the secondary did a nice job. So did he say much about how his linebackers played overall?
I don't recall any specific comments from Belichick about the linebackers. No. But, you're right. The Patriots' defense has really always been built back to front. So Belichick has always believed that as long as you can lock down the receivers in the passing game, they can scheme pressure up front. And so they don't really have the big sack guy, but they can still get a lot of pressure up front. And they still have Devin McCourty, Stephon Gilmore, J.C. Jackson, Jason McCourty. They have an excellent veteran secondary. So they're still going to be a good defense this year. Yeah. You know, with Hightower opting out, not only do you lose one of your best, most versatile defenders, but he's the captain and the green dot guy. So they elevated this kid, Juwan Bentley, who's a fifth-round pick a few years ago, and now he's the green dot guy. He's the new Hightower, and he's kind of the one linebacker that it all revolves around. I thought he played a really nice game the other day. They didn't seem to have many communication issues. As for the other linebackers, it's really just a rotation at this point. They have a couple rookies. They have some guys who are more like backups and special teamers. So Belichick was just kind of cycling them in and out. But for the Patriots, it's really all about the back end and having a strong secondary. And even though they had a lot of opt-outs this year, they still have been able to keep most of the secondary intact.
Hey, Ben, before we let you go, I just want to ask you this question. So his former assistants, now head coaches, went 1-3. And Tom Brady went 0-1. He didn't win his first game. Belichick enjoyed watching Brady lose that game and struggle a little bit, right? There's no way he was rooting for Tom Brady to have a good game.
I mean, was my tweet. Belichick won, Brady nothing. That's kind of the scoreboard, and where I think a lot of people are watching. I mean, I don't know if Belichick is actively rooting against Brady. But
come on, I think of course he is.
I think both men are out to prove that they can win without the other guy. So yes, I think Belichick is certainly happy to win with Cam Newton and feels good about that. I don't think he's like rooting for Brady to fail, but it's definitely Belichick 1-0 on the scoreboard. And you know, it's funny you say that all the other assistants, you know, most of them lost. I mean, I wrote that today that they don't have the Bill Belichick safety net anymore of, you know, just always being the better prepared team. You look at Matt Patricia and the Lions the other day, they blew a 17-point lead to Mitch Trubisky in the fourth quarter and just did everything wrong. And it's like, yeah, that's what happens when you don't have Bill Belichick calling the shots and having the team prepared.
But again, we're running late here, but Bill Belichick saw Tom Brady throw that pick six. You don't think he jumped up and high-fived the wife, the girlfriend at that point, gave her a big hug? By the way, still a good-looking lady, but yeah, I gave her a big hug. Come on.
I think he smirked, and I think he looks around the room and says, see, maybe I wasn't wrong. Maybe I know. Maybe the old man still knows a thing or two.
There you go. Stay maybe a baby, too. You're a trip,
maybe the kicker last night, too, for Tennessee, he was smirking a little bit. Also,
man. He got rid of him in time. Ooh-wee. Holy smoke. Benny, thank you.
Appreciate it,
brother.
All right. Thanks, boys.
All right, Ben Vollen from the Boston Globe joining us here on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline.
All right, hey, man, I want to talk to you about sports-related injuries. Man, they happen sooner or later to everybody, and it sucks. It sucks, but it happens. Team sports, individual sports, for kids, for athletes, for former athletes, for people that want to still be athletes. Doesn't matter what you're doing. It sure is nice to know, though, when it's all said and done, you have that injury, which is a real downer. Knee, shoulder, hip, whatever it is. That you've got one of the top sports medicine programs in the United States right here in your backyard. You do. And people go, well, how can you say? I had a doctor say something to me about 2 weeks ago, and I don't want to say his name because I've known him a long time. He says, you always make those guys sound like, I go, they are really good, and they have done it more than you have. It's not a shot at you, doc. But he goes, what do you mean? You're saying, no, but you're doing normal operations. These guys work on athletes, man. High school, college, and professional athletes every day. The pros go. Enter Miami, Heat, Panthers, and Dolphins. They all go to Miami Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Institute, better known as Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables. You know why? Because the experience of the doctors. There's a reason that athletes come from all over the world, all over the country to get a second opinion. And if they need a surgery, they get it done. Because there's one goal from all our great doctors for every part of the body, get you back out playing the sports you love the most. That's the goal every day. And you can see those same doctors that are taking care of high school, college, and professional athletes every day. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to make an appointment today. By the way, have you seen the new Baptist Health Hard Rock Stadium facility going up? Man, it is beautiful. Hey, next time you have an injury, go where the pros go.
All right, guys. The Joe wants you to see a Dolphins game at Hard Rock Stadium, courtesy of Dade County Federal Credit Union. Listen to the Joe and learn how you might win. Dade County Federal Credit Union, the preferred credit union of the Miami Dolphins. For more info, go to finscu.com, FINSCU.com, and keep listening for your chance to win. Only on AM 560, FM 96.5, HG2, The Joe, WQAM, and streaming on radio.com.
All right, we're going to go up to New York, check in on Adam Gase, see how old Adam's holding up out there, as a lot of articles after the game about fire Adam Gase, which is not going to happen after one game. It's just, especially with a long contract amount of money they would owe him. And the owner, Woody Johnson, is not even in this country. I just don't think that's going to happen at this time. I really don't. But anyway, we'll check in on all that stuff. Meanwhile, 305-567-0560 for the text machine this morning. What do we have coming in?
Well, someone said in the age of the running quarterback, by the age of 30, we're going to see a lot more quarterbacks go down and retire. With that said, the running quarterback. You think that's going to be happening where quarterback? Because it seems like quarterbacks are lasting longer these days, aren't they?
Well, guys take a lot better care of themselves. The diets have changed since the day of Sonny Jurgensen and Billy Kilmer, for sure, and Joe Namath, and anybody can play. Try playing with a hangover and see how you can play the next day. That was, I don't know if Sonny said that or Billy Kilmer. One of them, Billy lives down here. Maybe Billy Kilmer would tell you, like, anybody can play, like, just being healthy. Try playing on a hangover and having a good game. So times have changed a lot as far as players, they take better care. But, yeah, I would think for the most part, look what happened to Cam. Steve Young had a zillion concussions. So
right.
It is going to be hard to play if you don't adjust your game a little bit, I would agree, if you're just there for running.
Well, someone said Cam will be out by game four. Fins are stupid. They should have put eight in the box and have pressed.
Well, listen, there are going to be a lot of things second-guessed, including, and I'll just say this in fairness to the guy. I mean, he was a first-time defensive coordinator. And I can't say enough to go from being assistant coach to being a coordinator. And like being a coordinator to being a head coach, it's a big-ass jump. Those are two huge jumps. It's one thing to be in that little position meeting every day. And then when you have team meetings, a coordinator talks. And then it's another that now you're calling all the shots. And look, it doesn't look good. The guy doesn't – their defensive coordinator didn't look real well. He didn't look like – you know, they got out-coached. It looked bad.
They gave up 200
yards. Not making adjustments.
Rushing, right. And that's what someone said also, 100% bad coaching and zero adjustments.
It looked a lot like, and first thing I thought of after this game, what Patrick Graham, the coordinator last year, now with the Giants, what he went through last year against Lamar in that first game. Don't let Lamar beat us running. Okay. Who have a perfect quarterback rating and throw five touchdowns with no pressure.
Right. All right. Yeah, a little difference there. How about this from Jedi? Do you guys see the Dolphins possibly making a trade for someone like Odell Beckham Jr.? Or bringing in a wide receiver that'll help prevent defenses from loading the box against a running game, help boost the receiving core, having a drop-off when Parker and Preston Williams are out. Wilson and Hearn's presence missed. Definitely missed in that Patriots game, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I worry about firepower right now, especially if I know Devontae's going to be out this week, maybe another week. That changes things a lot.
Yep.
We got exposed for being limited on. I just didn't see any of our guys open. Like every time they threw to Preston Williams, he was covered. I mean, and covered well. So, but I don't see him trading for Odell. Odell was over there, had the crying towel, man, right, just whining. Right. And
I can't kind of leave that guy alone for right now. Keep him in Cleveland. Someone said it was great to not hear Tessitore on Monday Night Football. I heard him on a Tier 2 college football game Saturday. He still gets over-the-top excited by a two-yard run. Huh. Can't believe how critical people are in these broadcasters.
I just, for the most part, unless the guy says something about your team that's really wrong and you're going, man, you need to do more homework. But outside of that, I never I see like they
I don't like that shot though. Like what's the you're upset that the guy got excited at a low level college football game?
I just don't get even the people getting so upset about Monday Night Football, though it looked like they're pretty happy with both games last night.
Yeah, but someone will be upset and make us think about it. Oh, I didn't like this guy, or this guy stunk on the broadcast. Greasy's not good. I don't like Riddick. I don't like Steve Levy. Like, it always happens. There is no perfect scenario, right?
Has anybody ever really had you, like you're going, I can't take him. I got to turn the game off.
Every time I hear Mark Jackson, yes.
That can't, what do you, like, Mark, that's a good broadcast. That's actually really good.
Mike Breen's one of the best play-by-play guys there is. Mark Jackson is very difficult to listen to.
You don't think those three have good chemistry together?
I don't. I find him incredibly difficult.
But would you turn the game off if because they're getting mostly good games? So you're not. Please tell me Mark Jackson doesn't make you turn the game off.
If the game is bad and he makes a rough comment, I will probably switch the channel. Yes.
I really don't think there's a broadcaster out there that is on TV right now or radio that I would turn the game off because of them.
No one.
I just don't.
No
think
one it. For me.
Right.
If the guy's doing the game, first of all, he's been around the team. He's gotten to know a hell of a lot. And I'm watching the game anyway. Like, you could see things. If a guy whiffs on a tackle and the guy goes, that's a terrible effort for a tackle. You already know that. So, like, whatever he says or most of the comments he makes, you can see. And football fans, like basketball fans, are pretty knowledgeable about their sport. They know a dumb foul, or they know when a guy flops or guy whiffs on a block. I don't know what the guy could say to get you so upset that you're like, oh, that's it. He just wants the other team to win. Like, what are you talking about? Like, they don't care. They don't care who wins.
Well, why don't you stick around and watch halftime tonight and listen to Paul Pierce, what he has to say about the game.
Well, he's terrible. But he's not on the team.
You know who he wants to win.
No, but calm down. But like, you just changed topics.
But that whole broadcast, it's just the whole ESPN broadcast for the NBA. But yeah, Mark Jackson's the leader of the whole thing. But then when they go into the studio, it makes it, you must turn off TV.
See, I think those guys going back and forth, I like that. I think those, I don't know if Van Gundy wants another NBA job. I know Mark Jackson has made it pretty clear he does. And he's had a lot of guys kind of go to bat for him that are part of the Mark Jackson club. But I don't think he's bad. I think that broadcast's pretty good. I know when those three are together, it's a big game. I know that.
Yeah, they don't do half-ass games, correct.
And they get pretty critical of things. They get called out for, you know, saying stuff.
I think Hollywood's teetering into another topic, though, where the in-studio hosts are a lot different than the broadcasters. Well,
Paul Pierce is going to be rooting for, he doesn't like Miami. He's never liked them. It goes back to Dwayne and those guys and Ray Allen. And, he's going to be pretty clear-cut that he's a Boston guy tonight. He can go get free hamburgers in Boston when he gets done with this, for sure.
Although Kendrick Perkins has taken the nice change to being a diehard Heat fan, so it looks.
Yeah, he's been good. By the way, Chris Webber gets thrown into this conversation as well. We can't have this conversation without mentioning Chris Webber.
I still don't turn it off.
By the way, their job, because they don't like your team and they like somebody else's team more, is like, that's part of their job.
But I just don't think Chris Webber understands how basketball works, which is surprising because he played, but he seems like he has no clue what's going on most of the time.
Man. And Mark Jackson is the only – that's the guy that you will turn the game off. So what do you do if it's a really good game? You just turn it off and go, I know it's a great game, but I can't take Mark talking? I don't get that, man. I don't get it.
Hey, just mute it and broadcast it yourself.
Perfect. Wow. Perfect. By the way, someone tweeted at us and said, ask Joe if he heard Troy Aikman giving Jeff Ireland props about the Saints' offensive line. How good of a job he's done building it. I don't think Joe heard that.
I didn't hear that. Yeah. Jeff Ireland, there are a lot of people.
I mean, he did do a nice job over there. The team's good.
He's assistant GM. Right. I'm just telling you, anybody puts him in charge, you know, make sure he just stays behind closed doors and does his job, because he didn't do a very good job here. He just did not do a very good job here when he was in control. And the big three were brought in together. And one's passed away in Tony Sperano. And Tony wasn't a big fan. And I know Bill Parcells is not a big fan of Jeff's either.
Wow. We brought him in, too. Thanks, Bill. Still the most awkward picture I've ever seen when they show that picture of Stephen Ross in the middle and Tony on one side
on
the other.
Like, maybe Jeff gets a general manager job again. Maybe he does. Little pompous little jerk that he is. But I don't get it, man. Like, he did a terrible job here. Terrible. And he picked them. There ain't no looking over his shoulder. He picked them. He didn't blame me. He picked them. He picked some of the big busts. They're on his resume. So just make sure all that dumbass stuff you said on HBO Hard Knocks, make sure that stuff gets on your resume too.
Let it go, bro. Everybody likes a nice comeback story.
Not his.
It's time to let it go.
Right. I don't like his.
Still not getting over the Saban comeback story.
But first of all, I'm fine with Saban. Saban's great. He's good at what he does. I just had this long talk with Jason Taylor for like 20 minutes. Jason Taylor is officially, he is the head of the cheerleading of he's the head cheerleader for Nick Saban in Alabama. And why not? Your defensive player of the year. He did things with you to have one of the best years you've ever had. He quit on us, but that's a different story. And so that guy has nothing but and listen, he is a really good coach, and he's even, I don't know if he's a better recruiter or better coach in college football. That he was made for what he's doing. So you got to respect what he's done. The other guy hadn't done anything. He jumped on a team that has been running really well for a long time. That Saints thing's on automatic pilot right now.
Pretty good team.
I'm going, now you guys, now you got me. Are you happy?
Yes.
I'm happy for our next interview.
That one guy gets me going. I'm just not a Jeff Ireland.
I just have to bring that name up. Somebody, I love the fact that
I even watched to see when we play him, which guys on our in our front office kiss his ass still. Now I got a list. All right, we got to go to break. 9 o'clock hour's coming up, man.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.